Todd, to celebrate the wrap-up episode of Season 6, I've got you a special gift.
What is it?
It's your very own Good Guy doll.
Oh, now you see, the good thing about me is I actually would like it if it was one of those murdering ones.
I'm sure you would. It's in its little creepy fucking face.
Oh, it's like getting one of the gold mini boglins from when we were kids. The rarity that you're going to get one of the cursed ones.
It's a rare breed that you actually buy a toy and it murders you.
Well, thank you very much, Tom.
I hope you like it.
It's an awfully big box. I will take that and I will put that over here and let us definitely not give it our full attention.
Yep, we will definitely not be looking at that during this, the wrap-up episode of the Bitter End podcast, where we're talking about the Child's Play franchise.
What a mean, lean franchise it is. Now, dude, this has been a totally wild ride. 6 movies so far and just the craziest highs and very few lows.
It's very startling.
What's amazing is that it's been consistently like high, middle to very good, while still going off in lots of different directions.
Yeah, I don't think that this franchise has had like that catastrophic drop that a lot of the things that we've watched have had.
Yeah,
now, I mean, even like the thing, like the films I was not mad hot on, Child's Play 3, and
you didn't like Curse.
I didn't like Curse that much, but they were still perfectly serviceable slasher films.
Oh, totally.
Now, I mean, I have a feeling that maybe we're on the wrong side of history in terms of some of our hot takes on these films, because I understand that people don't really like Seed of Chucky.
Seed of Chucky crew in the house, whoop, 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 whoop.
And I just got to say, I mean, all those people are entitled to their opinion. I mean, it's wrong.
It's their right to have the complete wrong opinion.
Yeah.
And my commiserations on their awful opinion. Oh, no, doll. Your opinion's so wrong, doll.
It's just, I mean, I'm not the biggest horror fan, and I get that, like, comedy horror is not something that is everybody's cup of tea, and that it annoys horror fans when a franchise goes a bit goof, like, midway through. But, like, there's just so much else going on in that film that there is to love and or be baffled by, that I just don't see how you can, I just don't think you could hate it if you tried, because it's just too weird.
Well, before we get too deep into the fifth entry to the franchise, Tom, right back to
where it began.
Because it's very much a franchise of two halves, right? You've got the Child's Play half, 1, 2, and 3, and then you've got the X of Chucky.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, yeah, very much so. It's like two mini franchises that make up a big boy franchise.
What's interesting for me is that at the point where it crosses over to being the X of Chucky is the point where it stops being so much about Chucky, because the very first X of Chucky is The Bride, where you start to get Jennifer Tilly and Tiffany and all of that great stuff.
And then more Jennifer Tilly in the next one, and Glenn or Glenda. And then Chucky only really gets the show back to himself for the last one.
And even then, he's like kept much more in the sort of behind the scenes for a lot of it.
Yeah, because he'd been like having about 80% of screen time for the previous two films, isn't he? It's an unusual kind of like rebranding halfway through a franchise. But what I think is interesting is that it's been Don Mancini, like the writer, you've had like a constant hand on the wheel throughout the whole franchise, which I don't think we've had in any of the other sort of like movies, like franchises that we've watched. You might have someone who'll hold over for a few films and then they're just like, nah, I'm going to go and do other stuff. But Don Mancini's always been writing and then later writing and directing.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is super interesting and kind of an oddity, as you said.
I mean, it's strange as that it just doesn't seem to happen. And I think maybe because we've really enjoyed this franchise, maybe it speaks to like why it's been so enjoyable, that there's been an odd kind of consistency running through, because you've had Big Don on the wheel. But also, is it consistent? Because he suddenly just decides, like, you know what? I'm going to do some very strange things about halfway through.
And that he does, but none of it feels like that dramatic a shift. Each one kind of just takes the thread from the previous one and just takes it a little bit further.
Yeah, I enjoy the this franchise that it's not just Chucky who is like the staple. The first three films, you've got Andy Barclay.
Yeah.
And then the next two, you've got like Tiffany being like this like running theme, and things kind of build from where the last one left off. And then Curse also then kind of like tries to bring it all the way back full circle to the events preceding the first film. Whereas like, say, Elm Street, Friday the 13th, you might have the odd recurring character for maybe two films.
At most.
But then it's just a new cast every time. But this franchise is kind of like continually just like adding little bits to the lore and just like pulling out a character here and pulling out a character there. Like in that post-credit scene in the end of Curse, we find out that like, oh, what? Has he stayed in touch with Kyle? We don't know. Like he graduated military school. Andy's mum's going out with Prince Humperdinck now. Holy shit, there's a whole world going on out there and we haven't seen it.
And that's really great. And I wonder if that's in part because for slashers, these movies don't really have that many kills. The body count in all of them is actually quite low compared to something like Friday, compared to something like Nightmare even. There's not that many deaths. So I wonder... I slightly balk earlier when you called these films slashers, because I'm not sure that they are. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
But the body counts are too low, which means that you get to have these more recurrent threads. Like if this was Friday the 13th, Andy Barclay would have been dead by the second film. Or gone insane and become a murderer.
Yeah. I mean, well, Freddy Krueger doesn't kill that many people in some of those films. Like, you think about the first Elm Street film.
That's true. And Nancy
does
come
back.
There's
only about four people that die. Yeah, like, so I think that, I don't know if a slasher film necessarily denotes, like, a big body count. I think it just means that, like, your killer is a stalker.
Yeah, okay.
And that is Chucky.
At first, yeah. At least. At first, he's much more sort of stalky POV shots, like jumping out of people at cupboards.
Yeah.
In the sort of 4 and 5 region, he's a bit more just like walking around, giving people the finger,
and letting his wife kill everybody.
Yeah, and she is absolutely not a stalker. She will just burst in the door and be like, yo, bitch.
Yeah. She was like, okay, so like Jennifer Tilly as Tiffany was like just the gem I did not know would be hiding in this franchise. I mean, Chucky is fine, and Brad Dourif does a great job, but fuck me. Tiffany is where it's at. She's great.
Total franchise savior. Like, just such a good character, and so... It's rare that you get such a perfect marriage of character and actor.
Yeah, totally. Like, it totally works. She's, like... She's crazy, she's evil, she's got kills that are better, they give her better kills than Chucky has pulled off in the first three films, like, by miles. But then she's also kind of vulnerable, she's got a bit of heart, there's a bit of pathos there.
Yeah. She's
looking for love in all the wrong places.
Who knew that in one of these horror films, somewhere, we would get a well-rounded female character?
Yeah. And she's a baddie.
She's a baddie, and she's sympathetic, and she's got motivation and emotions and a lot going on, and is also cool and funny and will kill you dead.
Yeah, but I think that you definitely need them together, because I think that you need Chucky as kind of this kind of... He suddenly becomes this, like, abusive blue-collar husband.
Yeah, but like,
doesn't it, like, he's like sat on the couch drinking a beer trying to watch the game, turning your shirt the hell up, like, but you need him to be that.
Yeah, he's that like 1960s like TV sitcom version of like comedy abuse. It's like, you know, domestic abuse, but like, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
because that's what men are like, aren't they?
Hey,
women giving you
sorry.
Sorry, Tom, it's true.
Yeah
So I was going to ask, actually, would you be interested in a Tiffany spin-off film?
In theory, yes. But I do think that you need the partnership with Chucky, because where a lot of the conflict for her comes from is she loves him, but she knows he's wrong. He's a bad guy. And I don't know then... Maybe not Tiffany as a doll. You know what I want?
What do you want?
I want the spin-off of, like, how she goes about, like, being Jennifer Tilly.
Right.
Like, do a spin-off series, like do like a TV series. So it's kind of like BoJack Horseman, but with Tiffany now inhabiting the body of actress Jennifer Tilly, trying to acclimatize to the Hollywood lifestyle while also being a psychotic murderer.
And then getting cast in the new,
yeah,
in the new Child's Play movie that's just about to come out.
Yes, I would. Yeah, that, or watch that.
That's incredible. I also on the subject of like films that we wish might have been included in this. Is there? I keep returning to the character of not Chucky but Charles Lee Ray.
Oh yeah,
and I almost want there to be kind of a prequel. That shows you it's got none of the doll stuff, but it's just more about like Charles Lee Ray as the Lakeshore Strangler and how he kind of arrived at the voodoo lifestyle.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like, that's really interesting.
There is loads of, I think there's a lot of stuff that could be mined further in this. And like even just with like the curse, we've introduced Nika and like this whole other like thread. She seems like a really interesting character. She's gone mad now. Like, cool. Yeah, yeah. Have some of that.
And the added benefit of doing this prequel, if it was to be a thing, is you would just get to finally see a bit of Brad Dourif, like more of him on screen as him, as the character. Because obviously he's done, we talked a lot about his vocal performance, but like he's so cool. And especially now with the addition of the character of Nika, played by his real life daughter, Fiona Dourif.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's time that Big Bad Brad, the Big Bad Lad, kind of like took center stage as himself, just for like a moment in the franchise, really, to take a bow.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him sort of like do like a physical performance, because obviously Chucky is like a puppet. It's like puppetry and animatronics. It was just nice to be see kind of like, you don't really get much of like, how does Charles Lee Ray hold himself as a man?
Yeah,
into that. I mean, something came out recently where there was like this whole thing of like Chucky versus Freddy, where like Don Mancini was saying like, oh, I have an idea for like a Chucky versus Freddy film. I'd love to do that. And then his idea was kind of shit.
Yeah. The idea was fucking called Child's Play on Elm Street.
Okay, I kind of like how dumb that title
That's
is.
That's the dumbest title ever. But in the interview, I think he said, oh, I've got a great idea of how you get Chucky and Freddy together. Oh, yeah, Don, what's your great idea? He's like, well, Chucky's in Elm Street. He kills someone. Freddy shows up. They look at each other. They're like, all right, I like your work. I've got respect. But then there's a rivalry there, so they fight. That's a great idea, is it, Don? That's your great idea.
It's not amazing, is it? I like the idea of them having a mutual respect for each other's work. And with Chucky being into voodoo, I think it's like, you could have a little crossover there with that and like the dream, you know, like the dream phantom fish and all that kind of stuff that you got
the
spooky tadpoles. You can have all of that. But like, do something more interesting with it. Like, Chucky keeps on dying and getting brought back. Where does his soul go when the Chucky doll gets killed?
Yeah.
So he could go to hell or wherever Freddy is living.
Make a deal with them tadpoles.
Yeah, make a deal with those tadpoles. And then, I don't know, everyone's forgotten about Freddy. Chucky's like, we made a deal in hell. I'll bring you back and we'll go and kill Andy Barclay.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So come on, Don Mancini.
Yeah, listen to us. Pick up the phone. On the subject of killing, I did have one more question for you on the films as a whole. Mm. Do you have one standout favourite kill?
Because
as we've discussed, they've not exactly been thick and fast, but there have been some doozies.
There have been some good ones.
So I'll go.
You go.
My favourite, I can't remember who it was. I think it's Step Cop. Bride of Chucky, where they take a bunch of nails and put them in the airbag of a car and then make the airbag go off and his head gets full of the nails and then they make a Pinhead reference.
Yeah, that would also probably be mine, like, because that is so sick. But I will also, I'm just going to give another shout out to Seed of Chucky.
Oh, Seed, right.
very quick, but really cool the way that they do it, when you've got the dream sequence dad who is eating all that raw meat, that kind of like one continuous shot, POV shot, where he gets stabbed and you see him fall off the banisters still holding the doll and he just falls down. That is really cool.
I love
that, just kind of like that quick kind of like fall and the thunk, and it just feels real kind of like, it's got some oof to it.
Yeah.
Here's a quick question for you, Todd.
Do
you have any, how would you kind of like order these films, or very least kind of like what's, or a top three? Because I know there's not loads of films, but there's been a lot of high points.
Okay. So I'm going to give you my rundown. I'm going to give it to you worst to best.
Yeah.
And I'm giving it to you on the fly. So
okay.
I'm not going to hold myself to this forever. Worst, absolutely Child's Play 3, the police, the military school one. You know, it was passable, but it was it lacked imagination.
I think that there's a better version of that film somewhere in a parallel universe, because I think there's a lot of elements in it that could have come together to have made something kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it just was a bit bleh.
Then, and I like this film, so it sounds bad that it's my second worst, but it's just, again, the quality. Curse of Chucky, the last one that we saw. That's second to bottom. Liked it, had a good payoff, and was a well-made film, but I simply cannot rank it higher than the first Child's Play, which is in my three spot.
In the bottom three?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then it's going to have to be Child's Play 2.
Which I love Child's Play 2.
Is better than the original.
I agree.
It categorically is better than the original.
It's just a lot more fun.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you know, in a murdery kind of way.
In a murdery kind of way. Then, this is going to be controversial, Seed of Chucky 2. I loved it. It was insane.
Yep.
There is a lot going on, and I cannot in good faith say that it is the very best one, probably.
I get you.
For sheer, like, wins on all levels, would recommend it to literally anybody. I have to go with Bride of Chucky as the best.
I'm with you. I'm not fighting you on any of these picks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. Yeah, because Seed is just insane, but I couldn't in good conscience say like, oh yeah, that's the best one.
Let's say it's the one I enjoyed the most.
Yeah, say like if you wanted to like, what's the most memorable one to watch? I'd be like, well, that one is maybe the most memorable or just kind of startling.
Yeah.
But this being the wrap-up episode, we haven't really told our good listeners what the fuck we're doing here other than waffling on about Child's Play. We are waffling on about the Child's Play franchise, but not just the films.
Oh, no.
Because there's a bit more.
It's all a very leaky beast, the franchise. It sort of leaks its oozy franchise juice into a lot of other mediums.
It does. And same can be said for the Chucky of Child's Play series, is what I'm calling it now.
Excellent, Tom. Glad to see that your brain has melted.
Yes, thank you. I knew that the effects of Seed of Chucky would kick in eventually. So what else has been going on with our boy Chuck? Comics?
Oh, my God.
There's been
some comics.
Yeah. There were also some novelizations, but like not like the... Whereas I think like Friday the 13th and Elm Street spawned whole new stories in book form. These are just straight kind of like, this is what happens in the first three films in a book. Not going to be as exciting. Comics, there's been some interest, not loads, not as much as like other slasher icons have gotten comic book fare, but Chucky's had some, don't deny him that. So
what we got, pal?
So we had, in 1991, there was a series on Innovation Comics, about five or six issues, so it's not huge. I think Innovation also did straight comic adaptations of 2 and 3. But this 1991 run was just like all new Chucky stories.
Right.
There's nothing like, there's not been reprints or anything like that, which is a bit frustrating. But there was some cool kind of like storylines that I think were running through them where, like we were saying, there's all these other characters that you could like go and like delve into in the Chuckyverse, as I'm calling it. and they do that. So like there's a whole story about... Mike, Prince Humperdinck, to you and me, and Andy's mum. Andy's mum was to be known too. She goes into a mental hospital, and Chucky comes out and tries to get revenge on her, murders one of her doctors and frames her for it. Prince Humperdinck gets killed by Chucky.
Well, that's not canon because...
Well, this is pre that canon.
Right, okay.
So these obviously... Yes, these aren't canon. But anyway, so like bringing back these characters, killing off Prince Humperdinck, Karen has to kind of like clear her name, has to kill Chucky. And I think that she gets help from Prince Humperdinck's partner, the cop with the moustache and the cool jacket. Bring him back?
Yeah, you gotta bring him back.
Yeah, yeah, jacket cop. Yeah, love some jacket cop. Which I thought was like quite a nice thing of like, okay, let's, you know, what if they abandoned Andy Barclay and went over after those guys? Because we know Chucky is a very vengeful little bugger. So stands to reason. Another quite sweet storyline, which is just called Night of the Living Dolls, is where Chucky meets a load of other living dolls, but they're all good guys. Not good guys in the good guy dolls. They're actually they're good.
Oh.
They're morally good. Their moral alignment is good.
Not chaotic neutral.
They're not chaotic neutral. Not chaotic evil. They're lawful good.
Okay, good.
And then they try and fight Chucky because they're like, no, you're not lawful good. We're going to get. Which is quite cool.
That is cool.
And then Chucky went quiet on the comic scene for a while, and then 2007. He came back with another small run on Devil's Due Publishing. Sweet name for a comic publishing company.
Okay.
And again, did like more stories that featured Mike, a.k.a. Prince Humperdinck,
yeah, yeah.
Andy's mom, grown-up Andy, bringing back Jade, Katherine Heigl's character.
Oh, right. Mm.
And also... Mm. Mm. Now he, yeah, I know. Give a shit. And then the thing that in... Both of these comic stories, different publications, they all feature Dr. John, Voodoo Dr. John.
Oh!
Who died in the first film.
Yeah.
But they, for some reason, bring him back to, I guess, to probably lay out exposition and, like, lay out some Dembala rules. So I guess he's like, Voodoo undeaded myself. I mean, Chucky keeps on doing it.
Well, exactly. The rules are established that, like, death is absolutely not permanent in the world of Child's Play unless you're one of his victims.
Yes. But I think that was also quite cool because this whole Dembala voodoo thing, that is another thing for when we're doing all these spin-offs with the Chuckyverse. Delve more into some of that voodoo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a super rich theme.
With the villainous Dr. John... Not the musician.
I was going
John.
To say, didn't he?
I don't
think he released a single.
I don't know because I haven't read that comic, so it might just be that he goes like, "I killed the other Dr. John, and now I've come for you, musician and voodoo high priest, Dr. John."
Or maybe that Dr. John is the first person that he revealed his true identity to, and he's now in the body of a la Tiffany and Jennifer Tilly.
Do you think that, like, Dr. John is, like, none of them were born John? It's, like, a code name? Like, people say, like, oh, yeah, well, like, 007 is just, like, a...
Oh, you know? Yeah, right.
It's just a code name.
It's just a code name, man. Okay, well, this is super interesting. I'm assuming Don Mancini's nothing to do with any of them?
I do not believe he's been writing any of those bad boys. But they are out there for the, you know, the fans who hunger for more Chucky.
Well, you know what else fans have been hungering for?
What that?
Chucky? Well, a lot of people seem to really want a Child's Play video game.
Mm. Makes sense.
Makes sense, I suppose. And there's been some limited success with this. It's been a rocky road.
Mm.
So I have done my research into Chucky's digital representation. So in the year of our Lord 2011, a company called Tick Games announced the development of a game called Chucky : Wanna Play?
Mark.
See what they did there?
Yeah, yeah.
And that would have been a PC-only game with the potential for a console version to come later. And they were trying to kickstart $925,000.
That's many dollars.
That is many dollars. Would you like to guess how many dollars they raised?
Did they get halfway?
So out of $925,000 asked, the whole Kickstarter campaign ran its course, they got 585.
Oh, dear.
Full stop.
Oh, no.
Yeah, from 19 backers.
Oh, that's awful.
So if you think about how many people it takes to make a video game, it's entirely likely that some of the people working on that game could not even get one person to give them $10.
Wow.
I know, and that's a shame, because these guys obviously really cared about the project. But...
yeah.
It looked rubbish.
Oh.
It looked really rubbish. So they made a video for it, which is like a guy talking into camera about how he loves Chucky. They want to make this game. And like, there's like the other guys like pretending to be dead behind him.
They probably spent more making that video than they actually got from the Kickstarter.
You get then a few clips from the film. And then like a tiny, tiny clip of like what their game would be. And my God, I don't know how they made Chucky look as shit as he looks. It just looks so bad. His face is just wrong. It's like, it's just bad, man.
Was it meant to be kind of, I guess, a bit like we played the Friday the 13th game, like a bit like that? You just kind of stalk around and kill people.
So it just literally looked like you were running down one corridor and there would be a guy waiting for you and you could jump on him and stab him. And like in the, you know, on Kickstarter, you get like rewards if you sort of do a certain amount. So they were saying things like, oh, send us a picture of your ex-boyfriend or girlfriend and we'll make them one of the killable players in the game.
I mean, that's already opening up a load.
I know.
Just there's issues there. Yeah, you can't do that.
Some people working out some issues, man.
Fucking hell.
Well, unfortunately, that didn't work out.
No.
There was another game.
Ooh, okay.
One that actually got released.
Kaloo-Kaley.
A mere 2 years later, in 2013, Chucky's Slash and Dash came out.
Okay.
Now, this is iOS only, so just for you iPhone users out there. It's an exact clone of the popular... iPhone game Temple Run, where you're just like constantly running and you have to jump over stuff. Only you're Chucky in the Good Guy Factory from the end of Child's Play 2.
Right.
So you have to jump through the machinery. Very occasionally, you come across a security guard and you have to swipe across the screen to stab them. It was released to generally bad reviews.
You mean it sounds shit?
Largely for being a ripoff and largely because it was so glitchy that it was almost impossible to complete even one level.
Oh.
So I actually tried looking for it on the App Store and it's been deleted.
It's gone. It's gone. Okay.
I did find some gameplay footage on YouTube. I can confirm that it is shit. There's one good thing is that you have the choice of controlling Tiffany or Chucky.
Oh, okay.
Game is the same either way. You get like random quotes from the films while you're playing, but it's just like completely nonsensical, out of context, little lines that just like come in when you stab someone.
It sounds bad. It sounds like a bad game, and I'm glad it's gone.
There is one more game.
Oh, okay.
That is out there. It's not a solely Child's Play game. It's a free to download, like made free by the creators because it's just a passion project. It's a Mortal Kombat style 2D, like, two-player, like, fighting game, like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. It's called Terrordrome, all one word, and it's all of the great horror villains. So you've obviously got Chucky as a playable character in there. There's also Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Ash from Evil Dead, not a villain, but he's in there.
Yeah.
The Tall Man from Phantasm. Ghostface from Scream. I don't think he qualifies personally, but whatever. You've got Maniac Cop, Candyman, Herbert West from Reanimator, Pumpkinhead, and big Todd favourite, Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
Again, it's PC only. If you like Mortal Kombat, but just wish that it was with horror characters, this is for you.
Is it they've just reskinned Mortal Kombat,
I think it is, yeah. So there's some videos online, and you can play it in story mode, where it's just like you against all the, you know, you have to defeat everybody, and there's a vague story. So just watch the video for the Chucky story mode, and it starts with him like looking through the newspapers and being like, well, I've killed everybody, and I'm not getting any papers. There's like, I'm seeing Jason Voorhees, I'm seeing Michael Myers, all these guys in the paper, I'll show them. And then you fight your way through all of the baddies, with the last one being Jason Voorhees.
Right.
And then he kills Jason Voorhees, and then he dembalas himself into Jason's corpse.
Oh, no way!
Yes! and then becomes the ultimate killer.
That's amazing.
That's such a cool idea, right?
That's cool. I'm into that.
Now, there is one more little, like, question mark about, like, Chucky and video games.
Yeah.
Because there's literally in the last 2 months, there's been sudden speculation that Universal are working on a new game to coincide with the release of A Cult of Chucky, the new movie.
Oh, right.
This is purely based on one tweet that got sent by the official Twitter account for the film, for the new film, which was a poll, because on Twitter you can do polls now. And the words of the tweet said, "Child's Play video game on PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC, question mark." And the options were hell yes and hell no. Now, weirdly, 8% of people opted hell no. I don't know why. Why would you do that?
They are obviously the people that tried to back the Kickstarter Child's Play game, and they're just really bitter. They're like, don't tease me. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, there has been some speculation that it will be a reskinning of the Friday the 13th video game that we played with, the multi-online player where one person is Chucky. But, like, there's been nothing. That's just speculation. I would be open to that.
Yeah, it seems weird, though, for them to, like, come out and be like, hey, let's do this now, because the new Chucky film is... It's not... I mean, it's... I think it's gotten some all right reviews and things
like that. It's gotten some amazing reviews.
But it's... It's not a cinematic release. It's a straight-to-DVD and download, isn't it? So it seems really weird to compare, like, well, are we going to do the video game tie-in now? But maybe it's the Friday the 13th effect that people are like, oh, you know, people are into that.
Yeah.
People stumped up cash to kickstart that.
Why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not? Well, look forward to see how that develops.
Yeah. It was interesting, especially because there's so much interest in it, and it is still mainstream. There is something that we have to kind of address. So me and Tom we're in our sort of early to mid 30s, and we're both from the UK, had you not guessed. There is when we were growing up, there was a really big news story surrounding Child's Play.
Child's Play 3 specifically,
around not one, but two, like, genuinely awful, terrible real life murders that happened.
We can't really talk about Child's Play without kind of really addressing it, but, like, to be honest, I really don't want to talk about the specifics of these murders, because it's fucking horrible.
It's awful.
And it's just, that is disrespectful if that's something you want, because we bring this up because it's very nice that there is people who are from outside of the UK that are listening to this podcast, and they may not know that Child's Play and, like, became a part of, like, a very big video nasty scandal.
Huge
in the UK floor. Off of its association with these two murders. It was very tenuously linked to these murders, or, like,
so one of the closest, well, one of them is, they're both very tenuously linked, but in one case the link was even discredited. Supposedly the killers in one of them had been influenced by watching this film. It later came to light that the father had watched the film while the killer was not even staying at the father's house.
Yeah.
This is, like, the most tenuous link.
Yeah, and the other murder was kind of linked through...
A rave track.
Yeah. The people behind, they were listening to this rave track that sampled the "Hi, I'm Chucky, Wanna Play" line.
And all of this led to huge calls for more censorship for the films to be banned.
Yeah, I was looking, like, this up, like, even after, like, the court cases and things like that, like, Sky TV, like, pulled Child's Play 3 off of Sky Movies. I think, like, video rental chains in, certainly, like, in Ireland, pulled Child's Play 3. They wouldn't stock it and things like that. Mm. So, and I remember, like, this happening, I would have been, like, 11.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, it being, like, a big debate sort of on, like, it was on front of newspapers, it was on news, like, they were talking about these horrific crimes, and Child's Play and Chucky was being pulled into it heavily, because one of these murders was children killing another child. And it's fucking horrific, but, like, it was, the moral panic was people being like, this is so fucked up. There has to be a reason why. Cannot just be that these kids wanted to do that. It cannot be that these kids are just evil.
Yeah, something must have made
them do it. There had to be something. So there was this witch hunt. And they went after Child's Play and nothing was ever really proven. There was actually, there did lead to like the commissioning of a government paper. The Newsom report was published and it was claiming that it was going to be like, we found a link between screen violence and actual violence. And then it came out and everyone was like, no, this is just like, you're just cherry picking like points from different crimes to make the argument you want to make. The police that are involved in one of these murder cases, they went through, like you said, that the dad had rented Child's Play 3. They went through like 200 films that he'd rented in the past year preceding that and like was like, there's nothing here that we can say, yeah, this made them do it.
Yeah.
But like it was weird. It was a very weird time. Like,
I studied it in school. We actually had to study the way that the newspapers reported on this as part of my English literature course that I did.
Wow.
And even then, it was just sort of shocking and awful. But just above all, just like the reporting on it was just so strange because it was so clearly coming from a...
like a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
But then we've seen this since then because, you know, like I remember like discussing this at school and people being... and, you know, like you're talking about this with your friends and your kids and like, I mean, obviously like... you like a film, like you're not going to go and do this unless there is something... else going on within you. You're not going to just watch a film and be like, well, time to go kill people. And then the same thing happened with like Grand Theft Auto,
yeah,
and like Mortal Kombat and like violent video games, you know, even like music of Marilyn Manson and like Columbine and things like that,
right.
The knee-jerk reaction of something fucking terrible has happened and we cannot let ourselves think that it might just be that the person living next door to me is fucked up.
Yeah.
There has to be a reason, or like just be like, could I do this? No, it has to be something, an outside evil influence.
It's shocking. And there's, you know, partly maybe this is why people are so, or some people are so drawn to horror films, is that there's almost something comforting about naming your monsters, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And making them these kind of outlandish, definable, limited in some way. Creatures that, you know, then you can roll the credits and then you can sleep soundly.
I mean, do you think that this was the reason why the series then became of Chucky?
I think that's a huge part of why they rebranded it. And guys listening, thank you so much for being patient with us. I know this is a lot more heavy going than anything Tom or I would normally talk about on the podcast. We just, especially if you're from the UK and you're around our age, this will be such a... We couldn't not...
oh yeah,
it would have been weirder for to not mention it than to mention it.
Yeah, definitely. But
that said,
we should move on.
So moving on, and there's no sort of smooth way to bring the banter back, but I will try my best.
Please do.
I had a little look at some of the things that I thought maybe is the Child's Play franchise going to be referenced in a lot of other media?
Yeah.
So I had a look at like what else references it. And like the most famous one is The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror 3.
Oh, yeah.
Which is includes a short story called Clown Without Pity.
Oh, yes.
So that's the one with the evil crusty doll that tries to kill Homer, where he's like, huh, someone set this doll from good to evil.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But actually in looking into that, I realized that that does partly reference Child's Play, but it also references an older thing which Child's Play was referencing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. An episode of The Twilight Zone.
I was going to guess it's got to be the fucking Twilight Zone because the Treehouse of Horror, like the early ones, loved doing Twilight Zones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is from 1963 and it's called Living Doll.
Ah.
And it is about a doll called Talkie Tina.
Yeah.
A girl doll. That is just inexplicably sentient. And there is a husband who's like going through strained times with his wife and they buy Talkie Tina for their daughter. And then basically whenever the husband is alone with Talkie Tina, she like just berates him and like grinds him down and kind of almost in the voice of like the wife in his head.
Right.
Kind of drives him crazy and eventually starts threatening to kill him. And he gets so obsessed with this doll that no one else can hear that eventually his wife is like, fuck this, you're crazy, I'm leaving. And then he gets up in the middle of the night to try and like, I don't know, stop her leaving or something, trips over the doll, hits his head and dies. And then the little girl comes in to like get her doll back, and Talkie Tina turns to the child and says, "My name is Talkie Tina, and you'd better be nice to me."
Oh, no. So like, is the whole thing you're meant to be thinking that it's actually just the dad is crazy?
Yeah. Yeah,
nice, I think classic, so. Classic Twilight Zone misdirect. Nice twist in the tail. Oh, into that.
So that's interesting that obviously Child's Play was in part influenced by that, as was the Treehouse of Horror episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of comes around full circle.
I mean, the trope of a sentient doll, I do remember, like, you know, if you're like, you know, like a kind of a sleepover vibe and people telling scary stories, there was what, like one scary story that people would tell about, you know, about a doll kind of coming up the stairs or something like that to kill you. And there's something about that, like the inanimate object made life. It's just scary. I feel that we should probably check the good guy doll. It's fine.
Box is empty, though.
What?
It's odd.
Moving on.
Then I thought I'd look into rip-offs, right? Okay, so not just references, but rip-offs. So one thing that I remember, a film I remember seeing when I was a kid, is called Dolls.
Okay.
Just Dolls. I thought it was a blatant rip-off, but it actually came out 1 year before the first film.
Oh.
I know. So it's beginning to sound like Child's Play is maybe ripping off a few other things.
We're on to you, Don Mancini.
So Dolls is a pretty cool film. Like I said, I remember watching it. It is a horror film. It's about a house full of dolls. There's loads of dolls, and all of the dolls have, they're like cells to imprison the souls of evil people. So they're there as a punishment.
Yeah.
And for some reason, some people have to go into the house and all get killed. So I saw it as a teenager, and I remember classing it officially as pretty not bad.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that is interesting, though, is it's directed by a fellow called Stuart Gordon, who directed Reanimator.
Okay.
From Beyond.
Yes.
And the Christoph Lamchop vehicle Fortress.
Oh.
Yeah. But there is one other film that definitely is a ripoff, which is called Dolly Dearest.
Yeah.
It's from 1991. And that is about an archaeological dig in Mexico that releases a malevolent spirit that finds its way into the body of a female doll called Dolly. Looks shit.
Yeah.
But it got a fairly respectable 4.7 on IMDb.
Yeah, fair enough.
Dolly Dearest, check it out if you can be fucked.
Yeah. Strong recommendation from Todd Jordan there.
That's about as strong as it gets.
That's about as strong as it gets. Now, Todd.
Mate.
Is it about that time again on the wrap-up where we talk about what we would like to see in the future?
Yes. Well, before we go into the sort of true imaginings of the future, let's talk about the very near future.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's about, as we record now, it is September the 20th, and on October the 23rd, so a little over a month, yeah, that is when the new film drops.
Okay, yeah.
What do you want to see, Tom? What do you want it to be?
I watched the trailer for it like a while ago. I think maybe even before we started watching these films from the start.
Yeah, me too.
So I've kind of forgotten what was going on in there. But I think that it's Nika. I think that we've got Nika. And I thought that maybe we were going to have Nika and Andy.
Mm, I think he's in it.
Really cool if it's like Chucky trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Because how are they going to address the fact that at the end post-credit scene of Curse of Chucky,
yeah,
Andy shot Chucky with a massive shotgun?
Yeah, well, I mean, there were a lot of contradictory things that happened in that whole film. But I think that could be cool. I think enough time has passed, like bringing back an adult Andy, and then also seeing how Nika is doing now that she's been. Is she mad, or is she just kind of rolling with it?
Well, because we know from, as you said, the Netflix TV show Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which also had Fiona Durif.
She's great in it.
She plays a really good kind of like mad, manic character.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
in that, she's like this sort of feral, crazy, evil assassin lady, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally different from how she was playing Nika at the start of Curse of Chucky. So,
but then by the end of Curse of Chucky, she was wild.
Foaming at the mouth. Yeah. So yeah, I want more of that.
Also, what do you want?
Well, I'm pleased that, again, it's Don Mancini at the helm. I'm pleased that Jennifer Tilly is involved.
Okay, nice. Because, yeah, like, it's like, will Tiffany be back? Obviously, she showed up right at the end.
I don't know how much she's going to be in it, but she's definitely in it.
Because there's a lot of questions there as to, like, why is she helping why is she helping Chucky? Because at the end of Seed, he killed, well, it looked like he killed her, but we thought that he died. So I just kind of want like a little bit of like a filling in of that gap and why she, I mean, she can't, she just can't get away from him. But like, you feel that she holds all the cards now. She's the one wrapping him up and putting him in the post. She can send him wherever the fuck he wants, she wants to burn him.
And I think I want like a bit, just more of an expanding of the lore. That title, Cult of Chucky, that implies there's going to be something slightly bigger going on.
That's,
I don't know what it's going to be, but I want it.
Well, let's hope they're holding something back than what we've seen in the trailer. And there's going to be like a big twist. I want a big kind of like, oh no, they didn't.
Oh no, they didn't.
That's what I want.
So yes, listeners, if you are listening to this pre the date of October the 23rd, the film is, as far as I'm aware, at least not in the UK, getting a cinematic release, but it will be coming out on DVD, Blu-ray and digital all at the same time, October 23rd. Me and Tom are going to watch it. We're going to do an episode. We can all discover it together for the first time.
We're going to be coming back with like an episode where we're actually going to have to do some fucking spoiler warnings.
Mental.
Right, so that's the actual future. Todd, I want to know what's in the imaginary future.
Oh, yes.
You, like, Don Mancini has just, like, someone dropped an anvil off a building and has bopped him on the head.
Oh, no, Don!
Someone needs to take over the Chucky ship. And they've called you. Where are you going with it?
Where am I going with it? Okay, well, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate you giving me the time to pitch you my idea. I know you're a busy man, and all I've got here is just, it's scrawled on these napkins, and I must admit, I'm a bit nervous. The sweat is making the ink run a bit. There's some blurry bits missing.
You got this. You got this. Okay. I believe in you.
Okay. Getting a bit, sorry, a glass of water or something. I'm just a bit nervous about pitching to the Tom Denny.
Yeah.
A pretty big wheel.
This happens a lot. I'm a big wheel at the Cracker Factory. Yes.
Okay. So as you know, Tom, we started the franchise with Child's Play. And then, for whatever reason, it pivoted to X of Chucky.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing as me. Mash those fuckers together, Tom. Mash them right together. What I'm pitching to you is Chucky's Play.
Chucky's Play. Okay, you have my attention.
Now, what this is, Tom, Chucky's Play. What is Chucky's Play? Well, it is a Spinal Tap style mockumentary about Chucky putting on a one-man show.
Okay.
A play, if you will, a theatrical play.
I'm just going to get my checkbook and write you a big check to go and make this happen because I'm in.
Okay, maybe you start writing zeros.
Yeah.
And then at the point that you're satisfied, put a one on
it. Okay, okay.
Chucky decides to put on a one-man show, a one-doll show, if you will.
Mm.
And we're sort of behind the scenes as he's fretting about rehearsals, like looking at ticket sales, like building the sets. He's doing it all himself. And then it sort of ends with a big, we get to see the play itself. And it is about the life and career of Chucky's favourite actor, Brad Dourif. The Riff Machine, the Riffmeister. Oh. It's the part he was born to play.
Yes.
So you get a little mini pint-sized Brad Dourif running around, played by Chucky, makeup on his face to cover up his scars, all of this. And it begins with Dourif's big break when he was given the breakout role of Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest alongside Jack Nicholson. So we get to see him do his big scenes there with Nurse Ratchet and all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's horrible and all he does those and it's the excellent monologue. He's doing it all himself, monologue style. And then in Mime, we get to see him kill his co-star Jack Nicholson and steal his tongue, which explains why he speaks the way that he speaks.
Of course, it all makes sense. I'm glad that you're, like, answering these questions.
Yes, of course. From there, the next scene is a kind of really charts the rocket ship of the Brad Dourif career as he meets David Lynch and gets parts in Dune and Blue Velvet. You know, we see him go through The Exorcist 3, Critters 4, Alien Resurrection, all of these great films that Brad Dourif shows up in. Rob Zombie's Halloween. We see him settle into the immortal role of Doc Cochran in the TV show Deadwood, where he's that awesome doctor. And even in his later years, the role of Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings, alongside his son, Glenn/Glenda, who is playing the role of Pippin. We didn't really talk about the fact that they're both in that film.
Yes.
And Seed of Chucky is after Lord of the Rings, so it totally would have been a thing that people knew about.
Nice.
That's weird, isn't it? And then the final scene is a very emotional scene about the birth of Brad Dourif's daughter, Fiona, and him vowing to give up killing so that he can support her dream of going to acting school. Of course, the greater tragedy being that in a world without Chucky, the killer doll, his daughter Fiona will never get to be in Curse of Chucky or Cult of Chucky, thereby cutting her acting career tragically short.
Oh my God, this is like folding in so many layers of reality. It's great.
I know. And then I've just written that maybe the theatre burns down or something because I ran out of ideas.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. I'm into that.
All right.
I like this, like taking like, you know, meta horror filmmaking to the next level.
I just think it's important to show his sensitive
character,
side.
Like actor playing the character, playing the actor. Yeah, I'm into that. So I really appreciate your expanding of the Chuckyverse.
Thank you, sir.
What I'm proposing is we just go the whole hog with it. I'm not proposing that we do a new film per se.
Per se.
I'm proposing that we do a bit like what Marvel and Netflix did, and we're just going to do a load of fucking spin-offs.
Spin-offs?
Yeah. Okay. On Netflix series that expand the Chuckyverse.
All right, well, hit me, buddy.
So, as I've already said, I would really like to see a bit of Jennifer Tilly trying to make it in Hollywood. I want that. I want Mr. Simpson. I want the free-range egg sushi-eating scumbag.
I hate him so much. Before
he got killed, I want to see a series of him doing what he did for a living, where he was an Anthony Bourdain-esque, like, food travel writer who just travelled around the world being a massive dick to people. I want to see that. I want to see a series where grown-up Andy reconnects with Kyle and they become voodoo detectives trying to stamp out Dembala in New Orleans.
Oh, that sounds... I genuinely want that more than anything I've ever wanted.
Yeah, I want that. I want to bring them back. And then, like, the final one that I want to see, Botnik Year One.
You're bald!
Exactly. Now, I've thought about this. So, Botnik, why is he so obsessed with cutting hair in the way that the Romans did?
I don't think even he knows.
He does know.
Oh.
He was a Roman centurion. bear with me.
I'm bearing.
And he had a shaggy mane. And he had his throat cut.
Oh,
and
no.
It nearly killed him.
Oh, nearly?
It nearly killed him. But you know what he was able to do? Dembala himself. Into someone else.
What, and then into someone else, and then into someone else, and then into someone
else? Yes. He's a military man. He then became a military spy throughout the centuries, transferring himself into whatever he needed to do to get that job done. A horse, a dog, a pebble, anything. But prolonged Dembalaing will rot your mind. And this is why he is just fucking wiped out by the time we get to him in Child's Play 3. But he never forgot the lesson he learnt on that battlefield. You cut your hair. So this is what I want to do. I just, like, there are certain questions in the Chuckyverse that need answers. And one is, what is up with Botnik? That man has seen things.
When Botnik was a pebble.
Yeah.
Did he need to remember that lesson of cutting your hair then when he was
a pebble?
Well,
he had a very kind of like, that was his kind of like, I'm getting out. I'm going to go and be someone that doesn't have hair. And he just became a sentient pebble and rolled around for a while. But then he got tracked down by the government. And like, God damn it, Botnik. We need you. And then he gets pulled into this whole Cold War thing.
Tom. The word genius is bandied around a lot these days, but I really feel like you've arrived at something for the ages.
Yay! I did it! You and me, Botnik, we're going to do it!
I really want that, and I want the Kyle voodoo detective in New Orleans one as well.
Yeah, yeah, right? I just want to see Kyle wear that hat some more.
Oh, that banging hat.
And Andy to also wear the hat, because she's kind of his idol, and he's kind of like...
He's got like a smaller version.
Yeah, he's got a smaller version.
Even though he's probably got a slightly bigger head these days.
Yeah,
That'd be adorable.
Anyway, I think that about kind of wraps it up for now for Child's Play, right?
Child's Play. And if you've listened along this far, then thank you very, very much for listening. Tom, what was this? Like, is this season...
This is season seven.
Seven, my God.
Seven. I might have previously in the episode said six. I don't know. I'm not going to go back and check right now.
Why would
I can't.
You?
we're in the middle of it. We can't stop this thing, but it's seven.
It is seven. And are we going to stop at seven seasons, Tom?
Nah, mate.
We're coming back with an eighth.
There's some more in the tank, and we thought very hard about, like, we've done quite a lot of different franchises now over the past, like, couple of years, like, different things, and we want to do, something different. Maybe something a bit more family-friendly, but maybe not entirely family-friendly. Maybe the slasher film for kids, if you will.
Hey-o!
I mean, maybe not. Anyway. It's coming up towards the end of the year, coming up towards Christmas. You know what we're going to look at?
What's that, Tom?
Home Alone.
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Oh, yes. We are going to be watching the Macaulay Culkin breakout starring vehicle, Home Alone. How many of those are there? Five.
Tom, I have a question. Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay. Am I saying it wrong?
Again, I'm so pleased to be here at the moment that your brain completely melts.
Macaulay? The Big Mac. The Return of the Mac.
Can I just check that you definitely know his name isn't Macaulay Culkin? You know that, right?
How do you pronounce Macaulay Culkin?
It's Macaulay.
Macaulay?
There's no N in there.
I've been saying it wrong for years. I'm not going to stop now.
Sticking a rogue N in there.
I'm sorry. He's always going to be Macaulay to me.
Tom, seven franchises in, the wheels are coming off, mate.
Well, it's a good job this is like a slightly shorter franchise than the ones that we've done previously, I guess. So,
five movies, what are they?
Five movies. So we're going to watch Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Home Alone 3, imaginatively titled, Home Alone 4, also imaginatively titled. And can you guess what the last one's going to be? Nope, you're wrong. It's Home Alone, The Holiday Heist.
Oh, I wanted it to be Assignment Miami Beach.
Oh, if only. But I do know that the last one has Malcolm McDowell, and I love Malcolm McDowell because he will be in absolutely anything.
Yeah, but Tom, you know what we're going to have to deal with in part two? Donald Trump's in it.
Oh, fucking hell. Join us for that, get in the Christmas spirit as into it.
So yeah, we know it's a bit different. We know that it's at least the first one, probably two, are like quite well covered. We know it's only five films. You know what I say to people that are naysayers? Boo! Fucking boo! We're doing it.
Yeah, we were batting around ideas for all these different franchises to do, and none of them were quite sticking. And then Home Alone came up, and we were like, that's it.
Nice, tidy way to end the year.
That is it. Something clicked, and that's all we need.
So that's what we'll be doing. As always, we're watching them so you don't have to. If you want to watch them along, then they are mostly easy to get hold of, I think, Tom.
I think most of them, or probably the ones you actually want to watch.
Yeah. But as always, you don't actually have to watch them. You can just come to us and we'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah. That's about us for this season.
Yeah, we're going to take a few weeks off just while we're waiting for Cult of Chucky to come out with bated breath. Then there'll be a bonus episode out telling you everything we thought about that. And then shortly after, you will get our Home Alone Season 8.
Oh, yes. So, I mean, until then, I've been Tom Denny.
I've been Todd Jordan. You can find us on Twitter at BitterEndPod or on Facebook at BitterEndPod.
And it's been a pleasure as always, sir.
Tom, can you stop kicking my leg?
Dude, listen, how many times do I have to tell you it's not me kicking your leg under the table?
We went through this two seasons ago. You're kicking my bloody
leg. I am not kicking your leg under the table.
Where is that good guy doll?
Oh, yeah, I got you that good guy doll. That was a nice gift. I don't know. I'm just stop trying to divert from your fucking accusations.
Oh, my.
Ah! Oh, God! Not to peen! Am I being stabbed in the peen, though?
Tom, why are you laughing? It's horrific.
It's just so... It just... Oh, everything's just coming together, buddy. It's all coming together.
Ah, see you for season 8.
We almost managed to pull that joke off.
Todd and Tom will return for the bitter end. Home Alone.